You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Hallelujah. Well, everybody ready for the Word tonight?
Amen. Yes, sir.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms 112.
Amen.
Psalms 112. You know, last week, not intentional, I didn't just decide to teach a series on the Psalms. I'm not necessarily doing that even now. But last week we taught on Psalms 23 and just talked about how you need to make it personal. Everybody say, make it personal.
Make it personal.
You know, something David did when you see in Psalms 23, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. He didn't say the Lord is a shepherd. I think we're guilty of that sometimes. We say, well, the God's a good God. You know, or, yeah, I guess so. Bring that down if you don't mind, Michael. God's a good God, but God's more than a good God. God's our God.
That's right.
Yeah. And personally, he's our Father. What Jesus said, and he tried to drill that in us over and over, you know, that after this manner therefore pray, our Father which art in heaven. And so until you make the scripture personal, it's not going to help you. It's just an abstract thing. It's just a doctrine or a dogma, but until you make it personal, it's not going to help you. Jesus being a Savior doesn't help you until he's your Savior. Amen. Jesus being a Lord doesn't help you until he's your Lord. Amen. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus... See, you connect that. You connect your destiny to God's promises, to his word. You connect your future and your hope and your life and your identity to what God says. I am who God says I am. Amen. I have what God says I have. Yes. I can do what God says I can do.
Yes.
Now, the world doesn't operate that way, and you know, and it sounds kind of crazy when you first think about it, but if you get down to it, who are you going to believe, God or the world? Or, you know, the way you've been raised? I don't know how you've been raised. I don't know. I know how I've been raised, but, you know, who's right? The way we were raised, who's right? What everybody says or what God says?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, that's kind of a no-brainer. What God says is right. Amen?
Amen?
And sometimes it's foreign to our thinking. Sometimes we have to renew our mind with the Word of God. Romans 12:2 tells us that. Our mind is so in tune with the world and the world's way of thinking and defeat. I think we're actually... I think we're designed to succeed. I really believe that, but we're programmed to fail.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, God designed us to make it, to succeed in Him, all things being equal, trusting Him, living for Him, living right, and so on. But see, we're not programmed that way.
Yeah, that's right.
And so therefore we fail. We're actually winners that are falling.
That's right.
Everybody in hell could have gone to heaven. Everybody in hell could have gone. They could have made it. Everybody in sin could have overcome it and can still be forgiven of it and can still overcome it if they wake up. Amen? So it's, you know, it's a matter of finding out who we are. And, of course, you read through the Psalms just as an example. You see in the Psalms over and over, case after case, where the psalmist, and, of course, they weren't all written by David. There's a lot of different psalmists. David wrote several of them. He would connect himself and his destiny, his identity with what God said. The Lord is my shepherd. That meant something. That's a statement of fact. The Lord is my shepherd. He'd make a statement of faith after it, and he'd say, I shall not want.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
That means something. If the Lord is my shepherd, then I should be able to make a statement of faith on that.
Yeah.
Shouldn't I?
Right.
If the Lord is my shepherd, then I shall not want.
Amen. Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
So what have you got to fear? What are you afraid of? Jesus said in Matthew 6 chapter, he says, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or where shall we be clothed? Your heavenly Father knows you need these things, he says. In fact, 33rd verse says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
Right.
And he goes in great detail about considering the sparrows. They need to gather in the barn, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? And then he talks about the lilies, and he says, consider the lily of the field. And all of his splendor and glory, says Solomon, in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these. If God so clothe the grass of the field today is, and tomorrow's cast in the oven, how much more shall he not clothe you, O ye of little faith?
Yeah.
Wow. Strong stuff. But see, he was trying to get rid of worry. He said, therefore, don't take the thought saying. I love that. I mentioned this, I think, Sunday. I was teaching along those lines. But we take thoughts when we say thoughts. Thoughts are going to come, but... you can't control the thoughts that come, but you can control the thoughts you think on.
That's right.
Yeah.
You can't control all thoughts that come, but you can control your thinking.
Amen.
Yeah.
You can accept and reject. And you accept them when you say them. Don't say that. See, that's what Jesus is saying. Don't say, how am I going to make it? Don't say, because that's just saying God's not going to take care of me. Don't say, we're just not going to get by. Don't say that, because God says He'll supply your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Why don't you say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't know how. I know the news is bad. I mean, I know what's going on in the economy, but you know what? Thank God I got my faith and my eyes on Him, not on the economy.
Praise God.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Now, if you want to go with the economy, you go with it, and we'll pass you by while you're on the side of the road. But anyway. But God wants you to get up out of the ditch. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. And we have so many great promises in the Bible, so many great encouraging words, God's words, to put our faith in, to trust in. You know, it pays to serve God.
Yes.
It pays to trust God. It pays to do right. You don't have to sin to get ahead. You don't have to. It's not a dog-eat-dog world. It's a trust-God world. It's trust God or not trust God world is what it is. And if you trust God, you can make it. Hallelujah. Doesn't mean you're not going to go through crisis. Doesn't mean you're not going to go through problems. Doesn't mean you're not going to have things happen to you. But I tell you, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth us out of them all. Hallelujah. I love that. Woo. Psalms 112. Y'all found it?
Yes, sir.
You want me to give you a little background on this, a little technical? Get a little technical with you. Psalms 112. Now, that's East Texas when I say 100. That's 100, okay, if I were to articulate. But I might lose my anointing if I did that, so I don't want to try that. But Psalms 112 follows 111, right? That makes sense. It's one of a special class of psalms, if you want to think of it this way. It's called an acrostic psalm. Everybody say acrostic.
Acrostic.
Okay, I'm going to explain that. You know what an acronym is? You know, an acronym is where you take letters and you take these letters and you make a word out of the letters, or you make a lot of businesses will have an acronym for their business, you know, or you make, I do it at Christmas, you know, at Christmas, I like to say Christmas, if you spell it out, is Christ, yeah, Christ did something for us, but anyway, Christ has redeemed Christmas. Well, anyway, it's what I did. I took that word and I forgot it. But anyway, I took the word and let's take faith. That's a simple one. That's less letters. I took the word faith, and for all, I trust Him. There you go. I redeemed myself. Come on, give me a hand. Come on, come on. Okay, all right. Whew. Okay. For all, I trust Him. That's the word faith. That's called an acronym. That's an acrostic thing. Well, what the psalmist many times would do, and this wasn't David that wrote this, but Psalms 112, after praise the Lord, which is just hallelujah, the Hebrew word halal, which is hallelujah, praise the Lord. He takes the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and 22 lines, he starts the first word of each line with one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet in order. From Aleph, Aleph is the first letter, and Beth, you know, the second. Alphabet, we get the word alphabet from that. And also similar in Greek. And so it's called an acrostic psalm. So these 10 verses, the first 8 verses have 2 lines apiece, and the last 2 have 3 lines apiece. That's 22 lines. I hope that adds up, but anyway. That's called an acrostic psalm. And Psalms 111 is an acrostic psalm. And Psalms 9, and Psalms 10, Psalms 25, Psalms 34, Psalms 37, Psalms 119, and Psalms 145, if you're writing notes. Those are the acrostic psalms in the Old Testament. And what they did, Psalms 119 is real easy. If you're looking in your Bible, it'll have a Hebrew letter, and then it'll have 8 verses. And then it'll have another Hebrew letter, and have 8 verses. That's why it's so long, because there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. 22 times 8, that's how long Psalms 119 is. That's called an acrostic psalm in that sense. And what's unique about that is those whole 8 verses and each passage start with that letter. The first word starts with that letter in that one passage. Well, in this passage, you can't tell it because we're reading English and we don't know Hebrew.
Yeah. Right.
Hebrew, I thought that's just a man making coffee. Somebody go get the kids and bring them back in. Come on, I need some help here. But you can't tell from reading in English, but that's what it was originally written in Hebrew, and the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. It was written that way. If you looked at it, you could see the whole Hebrew alphabet, just letter by letter, all the way through, and then a line that was made, a statement made about God or something, you know, a promise that He made. What's unique about Psalms 112, I'm giving you a little background here, is it connects with the 111, not just chronologically, but they kind of went together. Psalms 111 talks about a righteous God. Psalms 112 talks about a righteous man. I think that's interesting. Or you might say a man who God makes righteous. As you do what God says to do, He makes you righteous. Now we know in the New Covenant that our righteousness came from Him. We don't have our own righteousness, but we have the righteousness of God, which came through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm not even standing here in my own righteousness, I'm standing here in His. So you might say, I'm a man that God made righteous. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, He made you righteous. He did what you couldn't do. And also, interesting enough, when you look at this in the Psalms 111, the last verse of Psalms 111 says this, if you put the pieces together here, it talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's my glasses. I can't see. Psalms 111, the last verse, 10th verse says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And notice the first verse of Psalms 112 says, the man who fears God. Isn't that good? So, blessed is the man who fears the Lord. Notice how Psalms 111, the last verse, ends with a good understanding have those who do His commandments. And then the first verse of Psalms 112 says, who delights greatly in His commandments. So they connect. I mean, if you're reading through, then they're not just totally separate psalms, although they are separate. But it appears that the writer wrote that, and then he just flowed right into the next psalm, and there's a connection there. Psalms 111, as I said before, is about a righteous God. Psalms 112 is about a righteous man. Hallelujah. I want to be that man. How about you? Amen. I want to be that righteous person. Now, I know that I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus did. I understand that. But under the old covenant, and the writer of Psalms, when he's talking about being righteous, he's talking about doing things that bring righteousness. He's talking about righteous acts. He's talking about compassion. He's talking about love. He's talking about helping people. He's talking about living holy. Those kinds of things. Now, I want to do that. None of that's going to get me to heaven. I understand that. If Jesus hadn't died and rose again, I would never get there, and you wouldn't either. Stick the fork in, we're done. But that doesn't let us off the hook just because we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We want to live holy. We need to live holy because the Lord our God is holy. Yeah. And how are you going to be a recipient? How are you going to benefit? How are you going to get the rewards of living holy and living righteous if you're not living holy and living righteous? See, regardless of what we think, I know I'm saved by grace. I know I'm saved by putting my faith in Jesus Christ. There are consequences to my actions, though, when I live. If I go hate people, they're going to hate me. If I hurt people, they're going to hurt me. Are you with me? So I want to live right for the benefit of it, just from that standpoint. And then, of course, the witness, my goodness, we are not trying to impress anybody, but we are trying to represent someone here. I am a Christian, so I'm obligated to represent Jesus in the way I live and the things that I say. Now, the good news is, from this psalm, boy, this ought to encourage you. The good news is, when you do that, when you live right, when you do right, there are blessings that come from that. There are promises and rewards, and there are consequences, karma, you know, they'd say in the New Age thing. We're not New Age. But there's something good that comes from doing good. There's something good that comes from helping others. Yeah, right. There's something good that comes from living right. Yeah. Keeping your word. Having integrity. Are you with me? Having character. Mm-hmm. Thinking about other people. Living for others, not just yourself. There's something good that comes from that. So he starts out here in Psalms, and the 112th Psalm, first verse says, praise the Lord, blessed is the man who fears the Lord. Now, that's not a scared of God, as we say in East Texas. I'm scared of Him. No, we're not scared of God, but we are in awe of God.
That's right. Yeah.
We tremble at His presence. He is so far beyond it. We're in awe. We fear Him in that respect. Not afraid of Him, that He's going to smash me like a bug and take everything I got away and kill me and burn my house down and all that stuff. No, not that. That's not the type of fear he's talking about. He's talking about an awe, a trembling awe and respect. I mean, similar to if someone were to walk in, some celebrity or some king or a man or woman of state that came in here, you know, that we all knew and recognized, there would be an awe in here of that. And we would just go kind of, we didn't know what to say to them. You ever been there? You go up to somebody and they're famous and you don't even know how to talk. You just lose, it's an awe. Because you have them maybe too high, and that's possible in the natural. You can't do that in the spirit. You can't have God too high. Hallelujah. So he's saying, praise the Lord, blesses the man who fears God, has an awesome respect for God. We should have some respect. Are you with me? For God. We're living in an age we don't have a lot of respect for God. In fact, it's amazing to me that, you know, things has changed so much even in my lifetime, and they've changed a lot in my father's lifetime, even worse, I'm sure, from then. But I can remember when I was younger, the things that you would allow and not allow on TV, the things you would allow to say and not allow, the things that were funny, the things that are funny now. Now the things that are funny, the things that get the press and the things that get the attention, it seems like we want to go just as far past morality, just as deep into sin and as irreverent as we can, and that seems to be the funny things. The guy who talks filthy gets all the laughs, and everybody goes, oh, they're laughing. Are you with me? And we defend that. I'm amazed at how we'll defend that, but then we'll tell a guy he can't talk about Jesus and he can't talk about the Lord, and we don't let people pray, and we don't have 10 commandments in the courthouse, but we will fight to the death to give someone the right to say the most filthy, ungodly thing and put it on airways, make our kids listen to it, and then teach it in our schools. Now, sorry for getting on my soapbox. But blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments, that loves His commandments. Not that here we got to do this or got to do that. No, I love to do this. I can't wait to do it. Tell me what to do. I don't know what to do. God, I found out from Your Word what I should do. I found out what kind of man I should be. I found out, you know, if you're a woman, what kind of woman you should be. And it's only two choices you got. Okay. Just want to make that real clear. But you find rules are good because rules are for your benefit. I like to say it this way. You know, I heard this, read this somewhere years ago. You know, we have laws on the highway. We have speed limit laws, stop sign laws. We have, you know, yield sign laws, school zone laws, all these things. And sometimes, you know, we might get a little frustrated with them. But I think in the long run, that's wonderful. Thank God we have them. Thank God you stay on your side of the road and I stay on my side of the road. Thank God you stop when that red light comes on and I go when that green light comes on. Thank God we keep rules. Thank God we have rules. In fact, this ribbon of highway out here of asphalt and concrete that you and I drive on every single day, without rules, it's a death trap. Yes, sir. With rules, it is a blessing. It gets you to places so fast. I mean, you can get on down the road with these signs and telling you where to go and how to get there, when to stop, and what side of the road to drive on. I love your commandments. That's what David was saying, and that's what this psalmist was saying here. This wasn't David, but the psalmist was saying, I love the commandments. Because it helps me. Life's no longer a death trap for me. Now I know what to do to keep from shooting myself in the foot. Right. Hello? Yeah. You can stop having these head-on collisions with everybody in life if you begin to understand the rules. Amen? Happy is the man. Woo. Praise God. Blessed is the man who delights greatly in His commandments. That's why I love the Word, and I love to get in the Word, and I love to find out what the promises say, and I love when I find out what I'm supposed to do. I shouldn't get upset when I find out. I should get excited. Oh, hallelujah, that's what I need to do. Or, hey, that's what I've been doing wrong. See, that's when, you know, conviction comes. Conviction is not condemnation. No, you got it wrong. I want to be rebuked. I want to be corrected. I want conviction. Condemnation is when, you know, you're beat down and you feel like you're no good, you don't count. But see, conviction is totally different than that. That's when God convicts you of something you've done wrong and encourages you to repent of it and says you're better than this. You're better than this. And here's the problem. You're doing this, you're doing this, you're doing that, and you need to quit that. And you can quit that because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can make it. See, you've been lied to, but you can make it. You've been told you can't. But that's not the truth. You don't have to live like this the rest of your life. This is conviction, see. This is wrong what you're doing. You need to repent of this. You need to ask God to forgive you of this. You need to step up and stand up and go forward now. You need to, with the power of God and with forgiveness and true repentance, get back up on your feet and run, hallelujah, amen. Run with this vision that God has given. There's hope for you. God has given us a destiny and a hope and a purpose and a plan. He's for us, hallelujah. Doesn't matter whether you're in drugs or jails or adultery or whatever the case may be. If you repent of your sin, God will take you in. And I'm here to tell you, we'll take you. If you repent, we'll take you. I don't care what you've done. If you repent. Now, you're not going to be comfortable here at all if you want to just keep sinning. But if you want to repent of your sin, I don't care where you've been or what you've done. We got no stones to throw. Not piling any up. Lest we get hit ourselves. Amen. So in that sense, I delight greatly in His commandments. Find out how I'm supposed to live as a husband. I find out how I'm supposed to live as a daddy. I find out how I'm supposed to be a pastor, what a pastor's supposed to be. Thank God for the Word. Thank God that it tells me how I can be a man, how a real man should live. Real men love God. Real men pray. Real men stay faithful to their wives.
Yes.
Real men love Jesus.
Yes.
Real men keep their Word. Real men can be depended on.
That's right.
Real men. I don't know what the world's saying, but real men, real men. Real men do what God says. Hallelujah, somebody. Thank God for the commandments. And you can replace it, say real women if you're a woman, you know. But he goes on and says this, His descendants will be mighty on the earth. This doesn't just stop with me. This carries on to my family, my children, my grandchildren. Hallelujah. Oh, if Jesus tarries, I can't wait to see what my grandchildren are going to do. I'm proud of all my children. I'm proud of all my grandchildren, you know. But my grandchildren are still growing up, you know. I want to see what an impact they're going to make. My children have made a huge impact. They are just such a blessing to our town, our community, and this church. And I love to think about how our children have turned out and, you know, how they love God and how they're raising their children to love God and to serve God and how quick they are to help and how passionate they are about the Lord. And you know, this church is blessed because I'm not bragging on me. I'm just saying because of the commandments and I've obeyed them, it's affected my family, and my family's been a help and a blessing. And then you have, and many of your children are involved. I'm thinking of Bob and Debbie, there's Rachel up there front registering people coming in the food ministry, you know. What a blessing that is.
That's right.
To have that, you know, heritage. You know, Rachel, of your parents serving God and always being faithful, and here you are picking up and just carrying on. Hallelujah. There's no greater testimony in my life. There's no greater thing to put on my resume. There's no greater witness to me. You can talk about all the things that go around here in this church and all the ministry we've done around the world, and we could just start naming all those things, but that's nothing compared to my children serving God.
Praise God.
My children are serving God. Whew, hallelujah. To me, wow. Brother Olson used to always say, he said, I will not go around the world and let my children go to hell. Your greatest mission field is your children, your family. Right. Now I realize some of us may be here and your children are not serving God. Maybe you've gone through a divorce or whatever. But, well, you know, start where you are. Start believing God right now. Don't condemn yourself. That's not condemnation. Start where you are today and let's serve God. Let's start believing for those children. Let's start praying over those families. Because God can restore and He can turn things around. So it's not about the past. It's about where we're going. Amen? I love that. It says His descendants will be mighty on the earth. I'm believing that when I go on to be with the Lord, if Jesus tarries, that the work that I've done won't be in vain. I believe the life I've lived will so impact my family that they'll carry it on. And if I will leave a legacy, I want to leave a legacy of serving God. I want to leave a legacy of fearing God. I want to leave a legacy of delighting greatly in His commandments. That's the legacy I want to leave. Wow. And it may not be natural children. It may be children you've influenced or children you've adopted, or the list goes on and on and on. You know, there's other children than just immediate family children. I know as a pastor, I've probably influenced a lot of kids, you know. as a teacher you may have, or just as a member of the church. You don't ever know how much influence you have on people. So you want to leave that legacy. You want to think it in future terms instead of just the now. What's going to happen 10 years from now? What's going to happen 20 years from now? What's going to happen after you go? Did you know there are people that get saved because their grandmama prayed and their grandmother went to be with the Lord 20 years ago? But see, because of her faith, or grandfather's faith, or mama's faith, or daddy's faith, even though they may have gone on to be with the Lord, God's honoring their faith and their prayers and their influence on their children and their grandchildren long after they're gone. Because see, this faith thing, this believing God thing is eternal. Because in reality, no Christian, no believer in Jesus has ever really ceased to exist or died. They just changed locations, that's all. They just went on to be Lord. That's what they did. They're still alive and very much alive. They're not past tense. They're just in a different location. Amen. Yeah. Well, I speak of them that way too, really. You know, we talk about mama passing away. We all say, well, mama's in heaven.
That's right.
Daddy's in heaven.
Because
he's not dead. Yeah. Don't kid yourself. If you knew Jesus, Lord and Savior, very much alive.
That's right.
More alive than you and I are.
That's right.
And having a whole lot better time than you and I are too, to tell the truth. Not having to pray and believe God every day. They're right there in the presence of God.
Yeah.
Not having to stir up and get excited and get joy. They're in the presence of God, and in His presence is fullness of joy. They have entered into the joy of the Lord. Glory. Well, His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Now, how many of you believe that? Now, you know, I don't think this is magic. I don't think these are, like a sorcerer's formulas. You know, you say these words, oh, and all this will happen. There's nothing magic about this. This is God's Word.
Amen.
It's God's Word, okay? And if you trust God and you believe God and you believe He means what He says and you yield yourself to these words, you delight in these words, these commandments, you fear God enough to trust Him to do what He says, you will get these results. I didn't say that. He said that. This is not some prosperity teaching. This is not some confession teaching. This is Bible teaching. This is the Bible. How many of you believe this?
Yes.
I believe this. I don't know what the world has to say about all this. Probably a lot of them would say just a bunch of junk. They don't believe it, and you know, and said probably say it doesn't work. But God's Word does work.
That's right.
It works for those that work it.
That's right. Amen.
If you yield yourself to this, whoo. Third verse. You ready for this one? No, I don't think you are. No, I don't think you're ready for this next one. I'm telling you, this is just a little too wild. This is just getting over the edge here. Okay, now I just want to make sure if you're following along here, I want you to read this with me and see it, look at it with your eyes so you'll know I'm not making this up. But it says wealth and riches will be in His house.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Man, wow. Does this say that? That's what my Bible says. And His righteousness endures forever.
Ever.
Wow. Well, you may be saying, well, you know, that's not the case with me. I mean, preacher, I see that, but I mean, that's not what's going on in my house. Well, maybe it should be going on in your house. Maybe you need to start believing God for it to go on in your house. Doesn't mean you're going to be a billionaire or millionaire, but I tell you what, God will begin to bless you if you begin to trust Him, put your faith in Him. Start doing what He says. Keep His commandments little by little, incrementally. You probably didn't get in the mess you got into overnight. You're probably not going to get out overnight. But you can get on the road that will take you there, little by little, step by step.
Yeah.
Are you with me? First of all, keep hope alive. That's the first thing. I love what Brenda shared with us. You know, that we've got to keep our hope alive. Because if you lose hope, you're just going down the tubes if you lose hope. I want to encourage you. If I can do anything, if I just leave you, if you walk out of this, leave you with this, that You can do better. You can rise higher. You can come closer. You can press in further. You can do more. You can be more. You can. If I could do that, I've done a justice, because that'll get you to thinking, you know what? I don't have to stay on this track. I can come up a little higher. I can. God's Word works. It's true. God loves me. He's for me. And that means something. If God be for me, who can be against me?
Yes.
Woo! Are you with me? I just read along the scripture, this man or this woman or whoever that fears God, who delights in God's commandments, says wealth and riches will be in his house. And his righteousness endures forever. We ought to say things like that. We ought to say, oh, it doesn't look like my wallet looks kind of empty here, Father, but I know what your word says, and I'm not going to quit serving you, and I'm not going to quit trusting you, and I'm not going to quit doing right here. I'm going to honor you and honor your word, and I'm going to walk as best I can in your word and trust you. And I thank you, Father, that wealth and riches will be in my house because that's what you said. I am not going to lose hope for 2012. No matter what the Mayan calendar says, I believe
golly,
that you will come when you said you'd come, and only you know that.
Yeah.
And we don't.
Amen.
It might be today or it might be 100 years. I don't know. I'm living like it could be any minute. But I'm going to occupy till you come. I'm going to live your word, and I'm going to trust you, Father. Things may not look good, but I know what your word says, and I'm going to trust your word.
True. Yes.
Wealth and riches will be in my house. His righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. Hallelujah, somebody. Boy, we're living in a time when we need a little light, don't we?
Yes.
That's prophetic there. I could teach, have a camp meeting on that. You know, we need a little light. We need a little light in this darkness. Sometimes it's the darkness of your pain. Sometimes the darkness of poverty. Sometimes the darkness of depression. Sometimes the darkness of marital problems. But there is light, hallelujah, that comes from God. It comes from doing the right thing. It comes from praying and seeking God's face. It comes from having a healthy, reverential fear of God and a delight and a desire to know His Word. Light springs up in the darkness for the upright. Light comes. Just need a little more light. The entrance of thy word giveth light. Psalms 119 verse 130 tells us that the entrance of God's word gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple. Man, I love that. You know, sometimes I just need a little light to go off. Just a little insight. Just a little creativity. Just an idea. Something. God, tell me what to do. Well, God does that. See, and you get depressed and you get down. You have no creativity. You have no incentive. You have no light. But if you do right and you live right and you trust God, light will spring up for you in the darkness. You'll think of things nobody else thought of. Oh, I like that. You know, Joshua fought one day and the sun stood still. Because he just couldn't get it all done in one day. And so the sun stood still so he could get it all done. I like that. All he needed to win, all he needed to defeat that enemy, all he needed to finish off the job was just a little more light.
Amen. Praise God.
Oh, yeah, I'm going somewhere with this now.
Amen. That's good.
Sometimes all we need to get through this thing, all we need, we may be in the valley of the shadow of death. We may be in the darkness of pain or, you know, or depression or poverty or wherever the case may be, and we can't quite see the end of this thing. It's getting dark. All we need is just a little more light.
Amen.
The light of God's Word. The light of His promise. The light that says we can make it when we don't think we can make it. The light that says that we, you know, that God will pull through. He always pulls through. That God will never forsake us nor leave us, but with us to the ends of the earth. That light, we just need a little more light, and if we have that, praise God, we can make it. Just a little light is all we need. And see, if we will live right, live for God, well, light will spring up for the upright.
Amen.
Unto the upright, there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious. He is full of compassion. He is righteous. Oh, I love this. He's gracious. He's talking about things to do that will make us upright, as it were. Things that will make us righteous in our actions and our living. I know I'm righteous in my spirit because of what Jesus did, but I need to live holy and live right, and that involves compassion. It involves graciousness. It involves right living. Think about it. You can't go through life just stepping on everybody, just kicking everybody in the head, knocking everybody out of the way. They're just as important as you are.
That's right.
Yeah.
Jesus died for them just like He died for you. I'll tell you how you can tell how big a man is, how he treats little men.
Yeah.
And really, there are no little men. They're all big in God's sight.
Right.
In fact, if you want to be little, go be little people.
Yeah.
If you're always belittling people, you're going to be little. It's what you're going to be. If you build up people, if you encourage people, if you value people, you'll be a valuable, you'll be a valuable person yourself. You'll be an encouraged person yourself. See, as you value others, you take on value. As you're compassionate to others, love others, instead of hate others, instead of mad at, you know, some people just mad at everybody. They're mad at the world. Just mad at everybody. And you see it sometimes. I see sometimes that people that I think would be important, you know, you sit down at a restaurant and sit down and they start chewing out the waitress. Little waitress just trying to get by. Just working some minimum wage job, barely getting her bills paid. Probably just, you know, on the verge of getting kicked out of her house and got to put up with some rich guy down there that's chewing them out, thinks they're all that important. That's not a rich person. A rich person is someone who's kind, someone who's compassionate, someone who's gracious.
Good.
Are you with me? Whew. It always amazed me how you chew out that waitress because of the food. She didn't cook that food. Hello, chew her out because of the price. She didn't set the price on the menu.
Right.
Hello. Obviously, you've never been a waitress.
Yeah.
Are you out there? Once you walk in somebody's moccasins, you know, as they say. Makes a difference. You going to fix that door? You know, that door, we're going to have a come Jesus meeting with this door. I don't know what it is, but it rattles or something like that. I think it's a door demon. It doesn't like the word. It's all upset. It goes, no, not the word. Okay. Anyway, it says, under the upright, there arises light in the darkness. He's gracious and full of compassion and righteous. I love that. Oh, that's good. Man. It's not about being important. It's not about being the top dog. It's not about being the star. It's about being a servant. Amen. It's about helping others. You want to be great in the kingdom? Go serve others. Go help others. I always like to say it like this. You know, Jesus said the first commandment was, the greatest commandment was to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And he said the second was like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. He said on these hang all the law and the prophets. Everything hangs on loving God, loving your neighbor. But notice the priority, though. You got to love God first, then love your neighbor. If you make your goal to love people but not God, you're going to finally burn out. And most likely, not everybody's going to lead you to God. But if you make God your first priority to love Him, He will always lead you to people. Always. So if you love God first, the second commandment is no problem because He will always lead you to others.
Yeah.
He'll always tell you to forgive others, help others, bless others, reach out to others, pray for others, encourage others, lift others, see value in others. He'll always do that because that's just the way God is. He's crazy about us. He loves everybody. And so the first commandment actually demands the second. But the second one doesn't demand the first. It doesn't really. It doesn't, because there's people that are nice to people, don't love God, but they're not nice to everybody.
Yeah.
Hello. Okay. Man, I got to move on here. I got to wrap this up. Hallelujah. Okay, y'all handling this pretty good. I appreciate it too. Nobody ran out yet, and no one's screaming like the door over here. And so he says, unto the upright rises light in the darkness. He is gracious. He's full of compassion. He's righteous. A good man deals graciously, and he lends, and he'll guide his affairs with discretion, use wisdom and judgment when he does things. I like that. He lives to help others. You know, our church is here to help others. That's what we should be about. I think the greatest attribute to our success is helping others. As we help others, the money comes in. We're out of debt because of our missions. I believe that. Not just local missions, but foreign missions and all the missions that we do. We should reach out to others. Some people say, well, people take advantage of you. Well, you know what? People take advantage of you no matter what you do. Sometimes you have to help a few greedy people to get to the needy ones. You know, I don't like to be burnt. I don't like to be taken advantage of. We try our best to minimize that, even in the food ministry. And we do. We cut out a lot of abuse by the way we have our registration. And you know, some people don't like to give us all the information. That's all right. We're giving them free food, you know. And we're not mean about it. We just want to make sure that we're helping people that need help. It's not about just giving food out wholesale. We could just have no rules and say, hey, free food, and we would have 1,000 people every week.
Oh, yeah.
Me too.
Hello. I'd be there, and Michael be there with his 15 kids. But the point of the food ministry is to help people that need help.
Right.
Are you with me? And so you could get mad, and you could get stingy, and you could say, well, bless God, I've been taken advantage of, I've been burned, I've been hurt. I'm not helping anybody.
That's right.
Well, no, that's the wrong attitude there.
Yeah.
Everybody's been hurt, and everybody's been burnt, and everybody's been taken advantage of. But the ones you do help is a whole lot, it's worth a whole lot more than the ones you've been burnt by and taken advantage by.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
Praise God. Come on,
preach, Pastor. I've had them catch me out here in the parking lot just thanking me.
Yeah.
Driving off, stop, roll windows down, just start. Oh, Pastor, thank you so much. Thank you so much for helping us. You've been such a blessing to us. Thank you so much. We needed this food. Y'all are such a blessing. Thank God for this church. I mean, you know, I'm thinking, phew, I'll take a little abuse for that. Are you with me? Some people are appreciative. Some people thank you. Some people don't take it for granted. Some people don't take advantage. Some people are really needy and need help. Not everybody is, but, you know, if you're just going to quit the first time you get offended, stay home, because you're going to be offended. Nothing you do in life, everybody's not going to think you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. I don't care what you do. But there'll be those that do appreciate. There are those that you do help, and that's what you what you want to go for. So, hallelujah. Good man deals graciously, and he lends, and he guides his fare with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken, and the righteous will be an everlasting remembrance. I love that. It gives you something solid to stand on. You know, you're not so shaken in life if you're doing the right thing. You got your faith in God, you know it's going to be all right. You know, it might not look too good out there, but you know what? You lived right, you've done the right thing, or you've repented of your sin, you started your life over again, and now you're trusting God. It's going to work out. It's going to be all right. Cheer up. You're going to make it. Your sins are forgiven. Amen? Do right. Live right. Let God bless you. Let wealth and riches come to your house. Let the blessing of God come. Let it come. Open up the door. Quit hindering God. Quit. Get rid of those obstacles, you know. Start living right. Living right and letting God, let God bless you. Man, I want God to bless us so we can bless others. I want to prosper so we can help more people. See, that's prosperity. Prosperity is just not having more stuff. It's being able to help more people. That's what we're talking about, see. Seventh verse. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, King James says, steadfast, New King James. Fixed on what? Trusting in the Lord. Man, I just love that verse. Evil tidings come and go. Do you know that? Bad news comes and goes. Crisis come and go. But God's word is eternal. It's forever settled in heaven and earth. You can stand on it. You can base your life. You can bank on it. You can take it to the bank. You can base your life on it, your marriage on it, your family on it, your business on it, your church on it. In fact, God forbid you don't do it. Don't base it on it. Put your life on the Word. Amen? Stand on the Word. What will happen when that happens is not that you won't ever have problems, not that you won't ever have crisis, not that you won't ever have bad reports, but when they come, you will not be afraid. Something we've always said around here, and I say it all the time, as a pastor, we've had a lot of things happen in 30 years. You know, 30 years we've been here. 30 years. Say it real fast, it doesn't sound so bad. But we've had a lot of things happen, good things happen. We've had a lot of crisis. We've had a lot of, I've been lots of days, at the end of the day, I felt like a shell of a man. I mean, more than I could handle in the natural, there's no way. A lot of times, and many of you could say the same thing, things that have happened that just took all of our life and energy away from us, and we were just barely there, and yet God came through, and we made it, and we got through it, and He undergirded us, and He strengthened us. I don't know everything that's going to happen to me, and I don't need to know. And you don't know everything that's going to happen to you, and you don't need to know. You don't know every challenge and every opportunity and every obstacle and every crisis and everything the devil's going to throw at you. You don't need to know all that. You don't want to know all that. But you can know this. You can know that if you are this kind of person, if you've been the kind of person that's trusted God and believed God, that whatever does happen, you'll trust God again, and you'll believe God again, and He'll come through again like He always does. See, so I'm not really afraid. I'm not afraid. I can think of a lot of things that could just bring fear, but you know, I also know that no matter what happens, I'm going to trust God. I've been doing it for a long time. I'm going to keep doing it. It's worked real well for me, and God's always come through for me, so I'm just going to keep doing that. I will not be afraid of evil tidings. My heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. It's steadfast. We're going to trust God. Well, Pastor, what if this happens? Well, we're going to trust God. Yeah, but what if that happened? Well, you know what? We're going to get down on our knees. We're going to pray. We're going to believe God.
Amen.
We're going to trust God and like we've always trusted God. And we're going to get through it like we've always got through it, because God always comes through.
Amen.
Mm. Love it. Eighth verse. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. What the devil, listen, I'm going to tell you something. When the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future.
Yeah.
He loses, we win. He cannot win against us. We will see our desire upon him. Hello. And all those that oppose God, as it were. Now, I'm not, you know, saying we're putting curses on anybody, but we know how this thing ends. I've read this book. I've read the end of it. And maybe the story's not over yet. Maybe you're in the battle. I understand that. But see, this book is being written, and if you'll still keep writing the Word in your life, you'll still keep trusting God and keep praying and believing and living right. You still got ink in your pen. The story's not over yet. You can keep writing. You can write another chapter. You can write another story if you want to. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer, is what the psalmist said. I love that. And I'm ready to write a better future. I don't believe the story's over. Excuse me for preaching. I'm just getting excited up here. I think it's Steve. Steve came in here and there's something got all over me. I don't know. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad. Actually, Paul quotes this in 2 Corinthians 9:9. You know where he talks about giving? It's fascinating. In the 9th chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul quotes this verse. And he talks about the grace of giving. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you be sufficient in all things and able to give to every good work. As it is written, he is dispersed abroad. He's quoting this verse here. He is dispersed abroad. He is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Hallelujah. Because you give, because it pays to give to people.
Yeah.
It pays to help people. Well, I got to look out for number one. Well, you're going to go after number one, you're going to lose number one.
Mm.
You know, if you go after this earth, you're going to lose it in heaven too. But if you go after heaven, you'll get heaven and the earth thrown in free.
Amen.
I like that. That's poetry there now, isn't it?
Amen.
That's what Jesus meant when he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you." So go after heaven. Go after God. Everything else gets thrown in free.
That's right.
He is dispersed abroad. He is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn, that's strength. That's said when they said that in the Old Testament, that means his strength will be exalted with honor. I like that. With honor. Everybody say with honor.
With honor.
I like to be considered strong honorably. Not strong in mean, bully type way, but strong in helping, strong in faith, strong in love, strong in compassion. That our strength will be exalted with honor by doing these things. And then he says the wicked will see it and be grieved. They won't like it. They'll gnash their teeth and melt away. Desire, the wicked shall perish. I don't want to be one of those. How about you? So there is a warning to us not to be that way, because we'll lose what we desire. We won't get what we desire. We will perish. But if we'll walk uprightly and keep God's commandments and delight in his commandments and fear God, have compassion, be gracious, be kind, lend, our seed will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in our house. Hey, real quick, let me say this. I made a confession out of this. Just made it personal. And I took these 10 verses. Because this is good. You need to do this. You say, well, you're playing around with the Bible. No, I'm not. Jesus said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life." I think you need to make that personally.
That's right.
Yeah.
Personal. I think you need to say that. I think you need to say, "I believe on Jesus. That's personal. That's making it personal. Until you do that, it's not going to help you, is it? Romans 10:9 says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. See, that's abstract. That's a principle. That's a promise. But that doesn't save you. It only saves you till when you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. When you say, I confess Jesus as my Lord, I believe God raised Him from the dead. So making it personal, that's how we got saved. Are you kidding me? No scripture is going to help you till you make it personal. Here it is. Listen to this. Praise the Lord. That's the way it started out, so I just started out that way too. Praise the Lord. I am blessed because I fear God and I delight greatly in His commandments. My seed is mighty upon the earth and my generations are blessed. Woo! Wealth and riches are in my house. And my righteousness endures forever.
Amen.
Light arises for me in the darkness. I am gracious. I am full of compassion and righteous. I show favor and lend. I guide my affairs with discretion. I shall not be moved forever, and I shall be in everlasting remembrance. I will not be afraid of evil tidings. My heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. My heart is established. I shall not be afraid. I will see my desire on my enemies. I have dispersed. I have given to the poor. My righteousness endures forever. My strength is exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked will perish. So make it personal. Just go through there. Yeah, email that to me. Yeah. I'll do that. I'll do that. But make it personal. When you read the word, it's meant a letter to you. Come on. God wants you to take it into your house. Take it into your heart. Take it into your family and your business and so on and so forth. God wants to bless you. But He wants you to live right. See, that's the result of living right. It's wealth and riches.